blessing us today. We need this desperately. Well, I'm the new guy. I'm Don Meeks. I've been trying to introduce myself, but anyway, this is the first Sunday, so if I stumble, please be gracious. But just learning your routine, and I know normally we'll do a couple of announcements, and I'll receive your prayer requests. And just one of the announcements today, I'm going to save our primary prayer that's listed in the bulletin right before the offering until the end of the service today, just for today, before the final hymn. So just want to prepare you for that. Abby is beginning to offer you a bulletin with prayer requests, and so want to make sure that you get those to her, and so we can print that so you can be praying for one another. And there it says there are some forms located in the north and south altar rails, and so that you can pick something up and write that out. That will help me to make sure I get people's names right and what it is we're praying for as we do this. But one other note is that the scripture from the epistle, I gave it to Abby one way in one place and another way in another. That's the Second Corinthians is not the reading. It's from Ephesians 4. So just so you'll know ahead of time that's a little different. But anyway, just want to take any prayer requests that you have at this time. Yes. Thanks for the rain. Yes. Carol Hill for what? Surgery. Okay. Surgery. Anyone else? Yes. Yes, Pastor April. Yes. Yeah, in the back. Right. Renewed health because of your eating. Yes. Joe Wilkes. Anyone else? Adam. I would invite you to. Yes. So they got back safely from vacation and everybody's good. That's right. That's good. Yeah. I would invite you to be in prayer. My older sister, Doris, was a missionary in Ukraine. And every year she would go with a group of people and they would do VBSs in churches all over Ukraine. And she did that up until the time of the pandemic. And they received someone who's from one of those communities that they're taking care of in Minnesota. And but she shares updates that she's getting from friends and family there. And there are renewed bombings going on in some of those villages overnight. And so family and friends and people she knows makes a difference when you really know them, doesn't it? But just invite you to continue praying, Lord, that there might be an end to all of that, right? But I know there are many other things that are on our hearts and minds, and we'll be lifting those up again then at the in the prayer time at the very end before our final hymn. But now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
To worship. We come from different places, different experiences, different lives. Bind us together, Lord. We bring our own hurts, our own joys with us today. Bind us together, Lord. We live much of our lives on our own, trying to go it alone. Bind us together, Lord. We desire to be one as Jesus and the Father are one. Bind us together, Lord. We come together to worship you. Bind us together, Lord.
If you're able, if you'd like to stand, let's join together for our opening hymn. Is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so good to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night. Trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder, we'll do the prayers after the sermon today, but At this time, we're going to pray for the offering. Remind you that there are plates here and at each of the entrances. If you have not yet given, you can do so then. But let us give a word of thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, it is only because of your generosity to us that we have and enjoy all that we do enjoy as your children. And we're so grateful for your provision. I'm grateful today for each one, for their generosity, whether it's of their time or their talent or their treasure. It's the desire on their part to be part of your mission in the world. I pray your blessing upon them and your blessing upon each of these gifts. May it further your mission. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Scripture readings.
Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. In Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord.
Ephesians 4:1-16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When he says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. He himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love.
Our second hymn this morning, I understand, is one that you're not as familiar with, but one that you have sung before. Help us to accept each other. And so Rich is going to play, and I'm going to sing that first verse for you, and so you'll get a sense of it, and you can join in. If you already know it, you can go ahead and join in with me, but if not, you can just join in on the second verse. We'll do that. Accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister, brother, each person to embrace. Teach us to care for people, for all, not just for some. We are ourselves accepted and meant to love and live. Lord, let us go through changes so that we may be moved in living situations to do the truth in love, to practice your acceptance until we know by heart the table of forgiveness and laughter's healing art. Lord, for today's encounters with all who are in need, who hunger for acceptance, for righteousness and bread, we need new eyes for seeing, new hands for holding on. Renew us with your Spirit, Lord, free us, make us one. Well, as you're aware, there was a second scripture reading. That was from Genesis. That'll be part of today's lesson. Well, let's pray together. Oh God, I am but a man, and yet you have called me to be a servant, and to be a vessel in your hands. And in my heart are many words, some that are mine, and some that are yours. So let mine fall away, that we might hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we begin this morning, I realize that this is our first Sunday together. This was also Lou Ann's very first Sunday in Pinckneyville leading a whole service. Now, she's participated in different things at different times, but never had to lead the whole thing. And so it's a new thing for all of us. These pastoral transitions that we go through, there's a lot going on for everybody, right? For you, you're trying to figure out this new guy, what he's about, what it means for you that we're doing this new thing. And for Lou Ann and I, we're trying to figure out how we're faithful to both congregations and fair to both congregations in our ministries. And we're here. We're here because we're coming alongside April. We're here to support her, support you throughout this year. And we realize that, you know, these last 2 years, they've been challenging really for all of us, haven't they? Whether in the life of the church or just in life in general in the world. It's been a very crazy time. And I know that each of you have a great deal of appreciation for April and how she's helped to keep you together and keep you moving forward as all of us try to make our way through the fog that has been coronavirus. It's been a blessing for you. And what some of you won't know is that I was her youth pastor at Aldersgate back in 1987 when she was a senior in high school. I was halfway through seminary and did an intern year working there at that church with her. And it's kind of exciting to see, for me, to see how much she has grown and how much she has matured to be the kind of leader that she is. But the reality is that it's a blessing for each of us who are pastors to have the chance to speak into your lives. It's a privilege to speak for God. And Lou Ann and I find it a joy to be able to come and share with you in the weeks that we will. The unique thing about us as United Methodists is that we're in connection with one another, right? We share this bond because of who we are. And as pastors, that goes even further. Because our membership isn't in a local church. Our membership is in the conference. And so really, we have been working together for years along with the superintendents and the bishop. We are in ministry together. But for us, it's a little bit more unique in that, you know, April and I were both there at Aldersgate, and we were influenced by Jim Sloan, the pastor there. And then Lou Ann, my wife, worked with Jim when he moved from Aldersgate to St. Matthew Church in Belleville. She worked with him for 15 years, and so she was influenced by him. Our district superintendent, Stan Irvin, was a member of the Aldersgate Church. So Stan, who will be with you next week, is also somebody influenced by, I'd say not because Jim has a great influence, but the reality is all of us have mentored each other and encouraged one another in the faith, and we continue to work in partnership. We've done it a long time. I have to admit that every time I'm in a church for the first time, there are some nerves. Because I realize, you know, this is my first Sunday, and there's a lot weighing on you, your first sermon at a new church, you know. William Williman, who's now a retired bishop, who was the dean of the chapel of preacher at Duke University when I was in seminary there, once said, a first sermon is a lot like a first date. You want to do well, you want to be impressive, you want to put your best foot forward, but you don't want to say anything that's going to mess up your relationship in the future. A sermon's a lot like that, first one. But today, you know, I'm going to be a little bit less formal because I do want you to get a little bit better acquainted with me, a little bit acquainted with who Lou Ann and I are. Some of you met us a month or so ago. Each of us have 30-plus years of ministry experience on our own in our own ministry, but we've only been in ministry together now for 5 years. We just celebrated our fifth anniversary. We got married in 2017 at McKendree University in the chapel there. But you know, like Abraham and Sarah in Genesis, both of us heard God's call to go wherever God might lead us, to a place that I will show you. And we were both rather surprised when our separate faith journeys brought us together. Wasn't something we expected. Now, we don't get to hear that part of Abraham and Sarah's story. It's not in Scripture. We don't know exactly how Abraham and Sarah met, what prepared them for their life together, what prepared them to receive this invitation from God. But I like to think maybe it happened a little bit like what happened with Lou Ann and me. Both felt blessed to meet each other, time in life when we did, and our paths led us then to an altar in Bothwell Chapel. We made promises to serve God and serve each other as we serve the church, but you know, our faith journey started a long time before that. We were both raised in the United Methodist Church. Lou Ann is the daughter of Phil Gardner, Bonnie Gardner, Phil, longtime United Methodist pastor. And when I was previously the pastor in Olney at the First United Methodist Church there, and in years past, Phil was the pastor there when Lou Ann was a senior in high school. And they were having a centennial celebration there. And so I've invited all of the pastors who were still living to come and be a part of that celebration. And that's how we met. That part of that celebration. But she was raised as a pastor's daughter, moved here and there among various churches. I was raised in the Ellen Moore United Methodist Church in Fairfield, Illinois, one of those stubborn mules, you know. Both raised in strong Christian families within the faithful congregations like yours. And yet our separate journeys led us to separate altars where we both dedicated our lives to the Lord. And for Lou Ann, it was at a David Wilkerson revival, of all things. She made the decision to follow the Lord. For me, it was at a youth camp just east of Fairfield, Zionsville. I don't know, Abby, you might have been there before. Zionsville camp. And I knew then that God was calling me to something. I never really thought it would ever be something like this. And it was while I was a student at Eastern Illinois, my father was in the furniture business. I went to Eastern to study business thinking I was going to go into the family business and got involved with the campus ministry. And you know what? God has strange ideas. And it was during that time that I realized this was what it was. So then I transferred to McKendree. Interestingly, Lou Ann and I were both at Eastern for 1 year. We were there at the same time. She had been to McKendree and then transferred to Eastern. And I was at Eastern and then then transferred to McKendree. I knew her roommate. I knew her boyfriend. I never knew her. But God is good all the time. And so I'm here today together with you. She'll be with you some weeks as well. This really is where God wants us to be, I think. It's a way God wants it to be, for people to be willing to go and do and be available. The journey together, seeking God's plan for our lives and using the gifts that God has given each one of us to further His mission in the world, to lead others into relationship with Jesus Christ. That is our mission, right? As Christians and as United Methodists, what do we say our mission is? It is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And to help me do that, I have my own life mission statement. And that mission statement is fairly easy. It is that I am on God's side. Are you on God's side? I'm on God's side. And SIDE is an acronym. Seeking out, inviting in, discipling, and equipping a new generation of spiritual leaders for the world. We're on God's side. Seeking out, inviting in, discipling, and equipping a new generation of spiritual leaders for the world. Every time I go to a new church, that's the first question in my mind. How are we going to reach a new generation here? What will that look like for us? My guess is that most of you, maybe not all of you, but many of you, raised in a church somewhere, whether it's this one or not, raised in the church, you know the Lord. And it is our job as Christians to encourage one another and to build one another up, as Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Honestly, if it wasn't for that encouragement, that building up of the congregation, Ellen Moore Church, I would never have found the courage. I mean, I was scared to get up and do anything as a kid. You might think that's strange now, but I was a shy little guy. But here in Ephesians is where I find my personal mission statement. The elements are all there. It's outlined. There are a number of different gifts God has given us, several specific roles. It doesn't name all of the gifts. It doesn't name all of the roles that are possible, but it lists particularly some leadership elements. And it says specifically what the primary role is for your pastor, and that is this: to equip the saints for ministry. Now, saints here, of course, is not talking about that formal thing that's done in the Catholic Church when someone has lived an amazing life, done something miraculously, and then after they die, the church identifies them as a saint. It's talking about each one of us as members of the body of Christ, all of us who are seeking to follow the Lord in our lives. We are the saints he's talking about. That following thing, that's really important, isn't it? That we're following in the footsteps of the Lord, following his teachings. We're called to be on this journey in mission together with the Lord. You know, one of the interesting things, one of the interesting ways that the church has been described since ancient times is as a ship. Did you know that? I'm talking about the facility, the building, the architecture, described as a ship. I don't know if you've noticed. I mean, there are beams here in the ceiling of the sanctuary, and that's an intentional part of the architectural design to make us think of ourselves being in a ship. Of course, this ship's a bit upside down, isn't it? But you know, you're supposed to imagine every Sunday when you're coming, you're at sea with the Lord. In fact, the area where you're sitting in the sanctuary, that particular architectural part is called the nave, and it comes from the Latin word navis, which means ship, the same word we use and translate for navy, the ship. We're in this ship. If we're in a ship, where is it sailing? Where is it going? We're sailing upside down through the heavenly realm with the Lord. Every time we come here, we're getting in the boat with Jesus. I really like that symbolism. We're getting in the boat with the Lord. Every time we come together, we're doing that. To go wherever it is he's leading us, and wherever we land, to be faithful to accomplish his mission. Jesus gives each of us roles in the boat, just like all the sailors on the boat have a role. And together, we get to where God wants us to get. Do whatever it is God wants us to do. The Apostle Paul even uses that same kind of language here in the letter to Ephesians when he talks about being tossed by every wind of doctrine. Imagine a ship out at sea in the midst of a storm being blown and tossed by the waves. So we can learn more, be more deeply rooted, learn how we can keep this ship moving in the right direction, growing in our relationship with the Lord, learning how we can stay steady in the face of all the storms. And we've got a lot of storms today that we're facing all the time, don't we? But to stay steady because we're with the Lord is with us. Sometimes it seems like he's sleeping in the back of the boat, right? We've got that story, but he's with us, and we don't have anything to be afraid of because he's with us all along the way. We come together, and we're bound together, rooted in the peace that comes from Christ. And so we come together, and we sing maybe that old song, "Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with hearts that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love." We're bound together in Christ. Paul says, shaped by humility, by gentleness, by patience, dealing with each other in love. Unified by the Holy Spirit. Boy, without the Holy Spirit, we can't do any of those things, can we? Be humble and gentle and patient and kind and loving. But they are all possible as we come together and we continually seek to grow in the Lord, be taught of the Lord. Let that shape us. Ephesians has all of the elements that we talk about in our various affirmations that we have. We are part of one body with one hope, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of us all. It's all right there in Ephesians. What makes us one? What brings us together? It is the love of God expressed to us in Jesus Christ, who forgives us of our sins and gives us this new life. What an amazing gift that we have to share with one another, to share with our community. Anybody here ever seen a piano being tuned? Anybody? Rich, you've probably seen one being tuned. Now, today they have all kinds of technical instruments that they use, but there's one piece, it's been around forever, a very simple item. It's called a tuning fork. Tuning fork. And it's kind of a long U-shape with a little handle on it, and when you tap it, it makes the perfect pitch of a certain note, and they play that note, and they tune that note, and they tune outward across the keyboard from there. Luann and I had our very first date at St. Matthew Church, an event called Keyboard Praise, and there were 10 grand pianos in the sanctuary playing hymns together. It was amazing. 10 grand pianos. But you know what? They all have to be tuned together so that they can work together, so they can sound good together. Now, they don't tune one piano to another piano to another piano. They tune every single one of those pianos to that tuning fork so that they're all tuned the same. And that's what it requires of us to be the church. It's not you being tuned into me or me tuning in to who you are, but each one of us tuning into who the Lord is and who he's inviting each one of us to be shaped and formed by his teaching. And when we do that, then we're on the same page. When we do that, then we can deal with each other the way we should. We become one together. We're all here to tune our lives to the voice of God so that we can play well together. And as we grow closer to the Lord, we grow closer to one another, and we become unified, so that we can accomplish the mission. You know, Luann and I, we look forward to working with April, to working with you as we continue our own faith journey. We're all on this journey, continuing to grow with you. We're getting in the boat with April, with you, with the Lord, together. It's about going where the Lord is leading us. Where is the Lord leading us together? You know, following him together, that's how we'll find the blessings that the Lord promises in the scriptures happen for us. And when we listen to God's call, it leads us to an altar to give praise and glory to the one who has forgiven us and gives us this life because of what Jesus is doing for each of us. And that's why we're here today. And so the reason I wanted to save the prayer time for the end is I just think it's really important as we begin this new phase together that we begin with prayer together. We're going to pray for April. We'll be praying for those that are on our list. If any of you want to come and pray with me at the altar, I invite you to do that. Some of you may not feel like you can kneel, and maybe you want to pray right where, but if you want to come to the altar, pray with me. I invite you to do that as we have our prayer time before our final hymn. Will you come? Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before you. Because of your faithfulness, we humble ourselves to honor you. It's such a privilege to be your children, to be part of what what you're doing in the world. We're so grateful for what you've done for us in Jesus Christ in offering us new life, forgiveness, new birth. For your promise to walk through us through every phase of life. And today, particularly, we want to lift up April Turner, pastor of this church, as she faces surgery tomorrow in Arkansas. And we ask, Lord, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon the physicians, the surgeons, the medical staff who will be caring for her. We pray, Lord, that you will guide their minds and their hands, give them wisdom as to exactly what she needs, and that you'll heal her body as only you can do. Restore her health, her mind, her body, her spirit, so that she might return to effective ministry here. We know she'll be back in a few weeks. But we'll continue this journey together. Renew her. Strengthen her. And we pray for this church, Lord. Pray for each of those who've been lifted up this morning. We give thanks for each one who shared their thanksgiving for the healing that you've been bringing, for the peace of mind that family has made it home safely from vacations. And we also give thanks that you are with those who are needing your care, who are needing healing, who are needing strengthening, who are needing forgiveness, who are needing all kinds of things in their lives. You know each one who's been named this morning and exactly what their needs are. We pray for the people in Ukraine continually facing uncertainty and fear because of the war there. We pray for your peace, a peace that goes beyond the end of battle, but renewal of relationships and restoration of lives. We pray for that. We pray for our life together. I pray for the members of this church that you will continue to encourage them, encourage us together with a vision that you have for us, that we might still be faithful witnesses to who you are for this community. Yes, there are many churches, and we pray your blessing on each one of them, but Lord, you've given us a unique place, a unique opportunity. I pray for your guidance for myself, for Lou Ann, for April, for the leadership of the church. Bind us together, Lord, in your Son. Move through us through your Holy Spirit that we might be faithful to our time. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Rabel, let's stand for our closing hymn. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that. God, we go into the world because you lead us. We go with confidence because you're with us. I pray, Lord, that you will help each one to see the possibilities that are available to them to love and care for and point others to you through the gifts you've given them. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.